And at this time, I want to go ahead and dismiss all of our elementary age children. If your elementary age is 5 through 10, they're going to head out to their class. Let's bless them as they go. Yes. Parents will be in this first room to the left here waiting for you. They will not dismiss them until you pick them up. They'll be in their class getting a lesson for their age group. And make sure that you pick them up in a timely manner when they get done. Word of God says we are to what? We're to bless our children. So let's bless them. Father, we bless our children. Lord, may they grow up to know you, Lord, as Lord of their life, as Savior. May they grow up to what? To be a voice to their generation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're so glad to see all of you here this morning. I know the weather's been a challenge the last couple of weeks. We didn't have church 2 weeks ago. And then last week, of course, we went ahead and had church, but it still was bad in many places, and many of you could not be here. And so it's good to be back together. How many know it's good to be together with friends and family, worshiping the Lord? Yes. Hopefully the rest of you will know that. Okay. How many know it's good to be with our friends and family? Yeah. There's something that happens when we meet together. You know, we meet on our own and we pray on our own and we're growing. But Word of God says we don't forsake this right here. He says, whatever you do, don't forsake this coming together. And when you do come together, knowing that we worship him and hear his word, but he says also encourage each other. For what? The coming of the Lord is near. So we draw close to each other. We bless the Lord together. That's why it's important next Sunday night, even if you don't like football, to come. Because why? Because you don't come just to watch the game. Because without the Cowboys and Chiefs, there's really not much of a game anyway. So we don't come just to watch the game, but we come what? To fellowship. We come to get to know you. Sometimes some people over here, you don't know everybody over here and different ones. And we're learning, you know, the oldest person that's been here has only been here 18, 19 months. So everybody's new. So if you're feeling like I'm new and I don't know anybody, that's all right. Everybody feels that way to a certain extent. And so we just invite you to come out, maybe get out of your comfort zone a little bit. Be here, meet some new people and meet some new friends. Develop relationships with each other. That's what it's about. That's how we make each other stronger and support each other through relationship in Jesus. Speaking of relationships today, it's good to have some very good friends of mine here. I want to acknowledge them today. It's good to have some people very close to my heart, Darcy and Jeremy Trotter. And where you at? Where'd you go back here? Yes. Season and Neil, where you guys at back here? Yeah, you back here. Lights are bright. It's good to have them. Very good friends of ours. And Darcy was my worship leader in my youth staff for many years and worked as my administrative assistant. And just a close ministry partner of ours, and she's able to be here today. She just married this young man. He came down from Indiana and just kind of swiped her off her feet there, and they're just a strong couple, and they are ministering together in song and through churches throughout, and we're very proud of them, what God's doing in their life. And I told her this morning, I said, we want to have you come back and sing for us also sometime and do some special music. Well, today it's so good to see you. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. I turn to the other neighbor and tell him, I'm glad you're here. Let me tell you this much. Those of you who were not able to be here last week, you missed just a dynamic time in the Holy Spirit last week as we just seen some spiritual breakthrough happen in people's lives. We're speaking on change right now. We're doing a series in the middle of a series. We're saying letting God change us, letting God change us. And last week we talked about coming in paralyzed and leaving out walking. And all of us are facing emotional and spiritual things that maybe have allowed our lives to be crippled. But through God's help, we're saying, God, he speaks to our fears. He speaks to our heart and gets rid of our guilt. And then he says, get up and do something for me. And so today we're going to continue in our series on letting God change us. And I want to talk to you today about breaking out of your rut. How many know we get in a rut? Whoever gets in a rut in here? Who doesn't get in a rut? Tell me if you don't get in a rut. You've been wearing that same shirt for the last 4 weeks in a row. You tell me, I'm playing. We get in a rut, don't we? It's very easy to get into a rut. We find ourselves getting in a rut. Many of you this morning, you had to move. You had to move a little bit. You got here kind of late, and so someone was sitting in your seat, and you had to maybe sit on the other side. And some of you didn't even worship the whole time. You're thinking, oh, my God, somebody's sitting in my seat. I can't worship over here. This beam's in my way. I can't see clearly what's going on. You get used to sitting in the same place. We mark our chair. Mom Hooley, if we ever moved her chair, I don't know if she'd ever make it back to church or not. On Wednesday night, she'll be the only one here, and she's in that chair. She'll be the first one here. She's in her chair. We love our chairs, don't we? Love. These are ours. You can't wait till I rearrange the chairs again. I like to do it. This will throw you off. It gets you out of your comfort zone. Because why? Because we get stuck in ruts. I get stuck in a rut. You get stuck in a rut. We all get stuck in ruts. Especially spiritually, we can find ourselves getting stuck in ruts. And we got to learn to overcome this. Listen, successful people are people of action. Successful people in business, in the physical world, and in the spiritual world, successful people are people of action. They're people who do something. They know how to get things done. Dreams and goals must be put into action if they're ever going to take shape. Will Rogers, he once said this, even if you're on the right track, you're going to get run over if you just sit still. Even if you're on the right track, you're going to get run over if you're just standing still. It's very important to learn to become a self-starter. It's very important to become a person of action. Well, Pastor, I can't do that. Well, you're in the right spot today. I'm going to teach you how to do that. All of us are called to be self-starters when it comes to the cause of Christ. When it comes to our spiritual walk with God, you can't expect your pastor to hold your hand the rest of your life. You can't expect a small group leader to hold your hand the rest of your life. You can't expect your wife or spouse to hold your hand the rest of your life. There comes a time when you got to say, you know what? I've got to break out of this rut and begin to lead myself to where God's calling me to go. Oh, it's getting quiet now, isn't it? Well, this is good. It's good for me and it's good for you. And we're going to talk about it today. How to get out of this rut. Our text today in James 2:17. It says this. Faith by itself is not what? If it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Other translations say faith without works. Faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, it's dead. It's not enough just to believe, but we got to put our actions with what we believe. I can say he is Lord all day long, but if my actions don't line up that he's Lord of my life, what's that prove? Nothing. It proves I can talk it, but I can't walk it. Faith without action is dead. I don't know about you, but I want my faith to be alive. I want my children to see me and say, man, my dad's faith is alive. His faith is alive. There's something about his faith that moved him to step out when it seemed impossible. I've seen him push through difficult circumstances. I've seen him persevere when it seemed like he couldn't persevere. Faith without action. You know, I can have a dream to plant a church all day long, but if I just don't step out and do it, it doesn't happen. There comes a time we say, well, I'm going to wait. Well, listen, we'll talk about that more in a little bit. Faith without action, you got to have more action. I read one time, if more husbands were self-starters, few wives would have to be cranks. If more husbands were self-starters, few less wives would have to be cranks. Trying to get that husband motivated, trying to get him going. Listen, there comes a time when you got to move on your own. We got to break out of the rut and say, you know what? I'm going to lead my family. I'm going to lead myself in the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm going to grow. We settle in the rut. So today, many of us in our lives, we're like the television. And we watch television. So many times we don't like the programming that's there, but we're too lazy to change the channel. That's the way we live our spiritual life many times. We don't necessarily like the show we're watching, but we're too lazy to change the channel. Today, I'm going to challenge you in that thought and say, don't be spiritually lazy. Allow yourself to put some action to what God is doing in your life. Break out of those ruts. Break out of those things that we have trapped ourselves in. Number one today, what motivates people to get moving? What motivates us to get out of a rut? You ever seen that? Sometimes we do break out of a rut, but why is that? Why is it we break out of a rut? I want to narrow it down to three things. I think these three things really motivate us. Number one, pain. No pain, no gain. Pain. How many know pain when it's time to change? I'm sorry. It's like Greg Brady this morning. I've been coaching my son's third and fourth grade basketball team. And so I am the head coach, and I'm yelling all day Saturday at these players on the court. And so now I have no voice to yell at you this morning. I've got to settle down when I'm coaching. It's just third and fourth grade, I know. But by the way, we did win 40-28, but that's no big number. No one's keeping score. Okay, anyway, let's go. Without pain, there's what? No gain. Pain will motivate you. Can you give me a little more monitors here? I think maybe that'll help me not scream so loud at myself. Pain will motivate us to do what? To make changes in our life. We see here, let's read it together. Bring it up in Luke. Look at the prodigal son here in Luke chapter 15. He says this. The prodigal son, he had just blown all of his wages, all of his inheritance. He told his dad, give me the money, I'll blow it all. And he went and blew it all on prodigal living, on a fast lifestyle, party lifestyle. And he found himself in a pig pen. Look what it says here. He spent everything he had, and he was hungry. But no one gave him anything to eat. Then it says this. At last he came to his senses and said, I will get up and go to my father. Now, many of us here, we want to take this story about the prodigal son and see this and say, oh, isn't it great how the Holy Spirit motivated this young man to go back to his father's house. And, you know, that's a great story, and I preached that before myself. But listen, you know what really motivated him in this story to go home? He was hungry. Listen, when I was in college and I was broke and I had nothing to eat, I would make that trip back home to mama's kitchen. When I was out of laundry and I had bought all the underwear I could buy, I would take that basket home and say, Mama, feed me. Mama, help me do my laundry. Why? The pain motivated me to get some things done in my life. Pain will motivate you to do things when you're stuck in a rut. But for many of us, that's the only reason we move is when pain comes. Pain will motivate you to go to the dentist, won't it? Even though you're scared to go to the dentist, pain will motivate you to do it. Sometimes pain will make you do things you don't want to do. I don't like to go to the dentist. I actually like it better now than I used to, but I used to really hate going to the dentist. Right, Gretchen? I have a good dentist now and a good dental assistant. I always go to Gretchen's office, and they're working on me, and they get my mouth stuffed up, and she's going, I told pastors, she's going to ask me questions about the church, and I got my, you know, gauze on my mouth, you know. And she's got the thing in my mouth. And she's asking me questions about the church. But, you know, pain will take us to go to the dentist when we don't want to go there, doesn't it? Pain will make you deal with that abscess, too. Thank you. Pain will make you bring some water to the pastor. Amen. Bless you. Pain, look what it says here in Proverbs 20:30. This is the Good News Version. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Pain will motivate us. What else motivates us? Number two, pressure. How many know pressure will motivate you to get to moving? Pressure motivates you. Pressure motivates us to get out of a rut. You go to the doctor and he says this, lose 50 pounds and quit smoking or you're going to die. What do you do? Oh, I could never quit smoking. I could never quit doing it. When the doctor looks you in the face, if you don't quit smoking, you're going to die. All of a sudden, you're like, whoo, it's gone. It gets motivated when you face death in the face, doesn't it? The doctor says, lose 50 pounds or your diabetes is going to shoot through the roof and you're going to die. All of a sudden, you find yourself saying, you know what? I think I can do something different about this lifestyle that I'm living. Pressure will make you do things. If you're a student today and your teacher says, hey, you get an A on this test or you flunk, you're going to fail my class. All of a sudden, pressure makes you study, doesn't it? Pressure will make you do things that you've never done before. You pull an all-nighter, staying up all night, studying, cramming for that test. Pain and pressure are tremendous motivators while they last. But the problem is this, is they don't. Once our society today, the way we're made and motivated is this. Pain will push us to do things we don't want to do. Pressure will make us do things we don't want to do. But as soon as we accomplish those things to get rid of the pain or to subside the pressure that's on us, we go back into the same rut we were in. And see, that's the danger of allowing these things to keep us from doing it. Let's read in 1 Kings 17. This is Elijah. It says, God said this, the brook will supply you with water to drink, Elijah. So Elijah went and stayed at the Kereth Brook. After a while, the brook dried up, and the Lord said to Elijah, now get up and go. Now, you got to understand what was going on there with this brook. This wasn't just some ordinary brook. God told Elijah, you go stay there. And he brought the ravens of the field to bring him dinner every day. And he supplied him with fresh running water. I mean, you're talking about room service. God was sending ravens with food to bring it to him. I mean, this prophet of God had it made. He was sitting in the shade next to the cool breeze. The brook was running. He had all the water he wanted. In the midst of a hard time, he was eating, being full. But God wanted him to move on. And so God did what? God dried up the brook and stopped the food and said, Elijah, get up and go. Because he knows if he hadn't stopped the resource, that Elijah would have stayed there and never got up and did the thing that God was calling him to do. So many times God uses pressure in our life to get us to go where we need to go. The brook dried up. Number three, the third thing that can cause us to change is perspective. Paul on the Damascus Road, what an awesome experience he had. He was Saul, and he had been persecuting Christians, and he had been one of the fighters against Christianity and Jesus Christ himself. And look what happens here in Acts 9, 3 through 6. Suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice. Who are you, Lord? Paul asked. He says, I am Jesus. Now get up and go to the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Paul had an aha moment. Paul had a moment when the light hit him and he had a revelation. It was God. He knows what he said. What do you need of me, Lord? Paul knew that it was God. The very one he says wasn't real. The very one he had been persecuted. All of a sudden he says, yes, God, what do you need? All right, I'll do it. I'll get up and I'll go to the city you're calling me to go to. Many of us, we have those perspective changes and they help us change and they help us get out of ruts. Maybe it's a great sermon your pastor preached and you leave saying, you know what? The lights went on. You know, I've got to move on. I've got to do what God's calling me to do. Our perspective changes. There's something that happens, and sometimes we see things differently. We see the ways that we're living and that they're leading to us to separate from our wives. They're leading us to separate from our children. They're leading us down a path of destruction. And all of a sudden, we get a different perspective. Perspective, when it changes, can help you break out of a rut. But all these things are great, but the problem is this, is that when we let pain and pressure and perspective change to push us out of a rut, that many times we go back to that same rut once we get through what we're going through. And so how do we do this? So how do we break out of a rut and stay out of a rut? That's the question today. That's the million-dollar answer we're going to answer today, and we're going to answer it here according to Scripture. Let me give you these things today. Let me give you these steps in moving you along and breaking out of a rut. A, we assume responsibility for my own life. Assume responsibility for my own life. Listen, there's three kinds of people in the world. There's accusers, there's excusers, and there's choosers. There's what? There's accusers, those who blame everybody else. It's their fault the reason I am this way. It's their fault the way I act. It's their fault the way I'm doing the things I do. We say all these things, we blame everybody else. Accusers blame everybody else for their problems. It's everybody else's fault. It started in the garden. Adam started this. The Lord went to Adam and said, hey, Adam, what's going on? It's Eve's fault. This woman you gave me. It started with Adam and Eve, and it's kept on to this day. We're blaming our spouse. We're blaming our boss. We're blaming our parents. The reason I am. And listen today. Listen to what Proverbs says here. Proverbs 28:13. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. The man who refuses to admit his mistakes, he'll never succeed in life. But the man who admits them, who admits his mistakes, says he gets another chance. Today, I don't know about you, but there's times in my life I need another chance. Many of you here in your life, you need another chance. You need another chance at life. You need another chance at living, doing things for God, doing things in your family. You need another chance. But it starts when you assume responsibility for your own actions. Quit blaming what happened to you when you was a child. Yes, many of you, and listen, if we're honest, all of us have something that was dysfunctional in our life, probably. It's about every one of us that went through something that was dysfunctional or was unfair. And some of you were hurt in a very, very bad way that was unfair, unmerited. It was pure evil. But listen, you still can choose to hold on to that. You can still choose to allow that person to control you emotionally by saying, I'm not going to forgive them. They've hurt me. I'm not moving on. Or you can say this. You can say, I am choosing not to allow them to control my life any longer. The hurt they did to me is not going to stop me from being a good wife. The hurt they did to me is not going to stop me from being a good mother. The hurt they did to me is not going to stop me from being a good husband. It's not going to stop me from being a good father. I've got to quit making excuses. Quit passing the blame. George Washington Carver said this, 90% of all failures come from people who develop a habit of making excuses. Wow. George Washington Carver said this, 90% of all failures come from people who develop a habit of making excuses. And there's a third kind of people, the choosers. That's who I want to be today. I want to be a chooser, a person who chooses to say, you know what? I'm going to quit making excuses for the way I am. I got to admit that, yeah, I've got some problems. Yes, I've got some things I need to work on. Yes, I need to be a better husband. Yes, I can do better being a better father. Yes, I can be a better pastor. Yes, I can be a better friend. What can you say yes to today? I've got to admit these things. You've got to admit these things. God, I admit where I'm weak. That's the very start of getting out of your trap today, of getting out of your rut. Who are you blaming today? Quit blaming. Assume responsibility for your own self. B, we believe I can change. Listen, you got to stop saying I can't and say I can. Now, there's not too many things we don't say at the BB House. Well, there's a lot of things we don't say, but one of the things that you don't say, besides shut up, we don't say shut up. My kids don't, we don't say shut up. Dad, we don't say that word. They let me know, Dad, we don't say that word. We don't say shut up. There's another word we don't say. We're teaching our kids to say, I can't. When I hear them say, I can't, we stop them and say, we don't say that word. We don't say, I can't. Oh, I can choose not to. I won't. But I can't is a word we don't use. And many of us, we have allowed that word, I can't, to control us. Listen, if you want to get out of a rut, you got to start believing that I can. I can do it. I can be a better husband. I can be a better father. I can be a better Christian. I can do what God's called me to do. I can learn to forgive. I can advance in my job. I can. I can. I can. It's important that my faith lines up with my actions. Listen to what Romans 12:2 says. Let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of mind. How does God change us? Not only in our heart, but he also changes our mind. When he gets our mind changed, he can change you. He changes your heart and he changes your mind. And so you got to believe in your heart and then you tell your mind, yes, I can. Through God, all things are possible. Through God, I can do this. I can. I can. It may be rough. It may be a challenge. It may stretch me, but I can do it. Believe I can change. When God talked to Moses, he said, you got the wrong guy. I stutter. That's what he said. Moses was a stutterer. And God said, listen, I want you to go talk to Pharaoh and get my people free. He said, listen, God, I can't do it. When God went to Jeremiah, he said, God, I'm just a teenager. When he went to Gideon, he said, God, I'm just a boy. I can't. But see, God has a way of taking people who can't and empowering them to do the thing that he called them to do. We talked about that last week, that when God changes your life, that many times he speaks to you and asks you to do the one thing you'd never done before. And when he asks you to do that, he empowers you to do it. God will never ask you to do anything he will not empower you to do. And so don't be fearful of saying yes to God's will in your life. Don't be fearful of saying yes to what God is calling you to do. Make that choice. I can. I believe I can change. I believe I can do this. Put your faith in action. Mark 9:23 says this, everything, isn't this good? Everything is possible to him who believes. I'm glad it doesn't say everything but, we fill in the blank. It doesn't say it does. It says everything, all things are possible to him who believes. So we believe it in our heart, not just say it, but believe it and tell yourself, I can do all things through Christ. C, we must clarify what I really want. Clarify what I really want. Learn to write down what you want to accomplish. First thing you need to do is take a lid off your water before you take a drink. That always helps. Someone write that down. Right there, okay. Write down specifically what you want. I read a statistic. Listen to this statistic. It says there are less than 5% of Americans that actually have their goals written down. Less than 5% write their goals down. That also says this, that those 5% are the same top 5% of achievers in America. See the correlation there? Only 5% or just a little less than 5% write down what they want to accomplish in life. And those same 5% are classified as the top 5% of achievers. There's something about clarifying what you really want in life. Clarifying. You get into a rut and you get stuck where you're at. Learn to write it down. Look what James 1:8 says this. A double-minded man is unstable in all he does. A double-minded man is unstable in all he does. Listen, when you don't clarify what you want, you go over here one day, the next day you're over here. Well, I want to do this for God. Well, the next day, I think I should do this for God. Well, the next day, I want to do this, and the next day, I want to do this. All my kids do this, and I want to do this. I want to be this kind of father, and next day, this kind of father. I want this kind of husband, and next day, this kind of husband. Stop. Stop. Settle down and say, God, what are you calling me to be? Let me clarify. God, this is who I want to be. God, this is who you're calling me. I write it down so I know this is who I'm called to be. This is where I'm going. Take time to write that thing down. I challenge you this week, take time, get up early in your devotion time. Well, Pastor, I don't have a devotion time. This is a great week to start. What a great week to start your devotion. Get up and spend some time with God and say, God, what are you calling me to be? Write down some simple things. I mean, start with something simple. It's three points. These are the three things I want to accomplish. Write them down. Quit being double-minded. Clarify what you want. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We commit ourselves to the Lord. Change me. Help me. We've got to quit being double-minded. Clarify what God's speaking to your heart. D, don't wait for ideal circumstances. Don't wait for ideal circumstances. A lot of people are saying, I'm going to change when the time is right. I'm going to change when I do this. I'm going to change when things get a little bit better. Look what it says here in Ecclesiastes 11:4. The good news says it like this. If you wait until the wind and the weather are just right, you will never plant anything and never harvest anything. Wow, we got to stop it. The Living Bible says if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. How many know it's never a good time? It's never a good time to get married, is it? I don't mean that the way you're taking it. But if you wait until you have enough money to get married, you'll never have enough money. If you wait until you have enough money to have children, you'll never have enough money to have children. Believe me, they just keep coming, and the bills keep coming. Oh, God help me. Yes, they just do, don't they? Yes. It's never a good time to do things you want to do in life. If you're waiting for the perfect time, you know, Pastor, I'm going to start living for God when this happens in my life. After I get married, I'm going to get my wife, we're going to be in church. Or, Pastor, after I've been married for 5 years, we're going to get serious. There's things we want to do with God. After I got some hurt in my life, I got to work through this, Pastor. I got to get God to help me on this. And after I get healed from this, then I'll do things for God. Listen, there will never be a right time. There will never be a right time. The right time is when? Now, today. Don't wait for the ideal circumstances because they'll never be ideal. They'll never be the way you want them to be. We've got to quit making these excuses and quit waiting on things to be perfect before we do what God's asked us to do. We've got to move forward. It's never just the right time. If I looked, when we moved into this building was a wreck. I mean, the bridge had been here, and it was a skate park. And so kids, man, they're rough on buildings. And we walked through the building. Daryl remembers walking through the building, and we looked at each other like, man, it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of work to get this place in shape. If we just waited until we had all the money ready, if we just waited until we had just enough people to do everything, it would never be done. We'd still be meeting at the Holiday Inn today. But we stepped out and said, God, all right, we feel like you are leading us, and so we're going to step out on faith and do it. And the money began to come in as we went. And I didn't know where it was going to come from. I'm living on faith. But God is bringing in money. He's bringing in resources. He's bringing people who can do the job. And 6 to 7 weeks later, we move in. We're here on Easter Sunday going, wow, who would have thought? That happens when we don't wait for idle circumstances, but we say, God, let's move now. God, you're telling us to move, so let's move. Let's quit waiting until we have no excuses, because you'll always have an excuse not to do it. Quit making excuses. Don't wait for ideal circumstances. Go for it. Some of you are perfectionists. That's the reason why you don't ever get anything done, because you're perfectionists and you wait. Perfectionism produces procrastination. It's never the right time. It also paralyzes your potential. I can't do it perfectly, so I'm not going to do it at all. Stop waiting until you say, I've got the right training, or I've got the right amount of money, or I just got the right time. Just jump out there sometimes and say, you know what, God, I'm just going to believe you. You're calling me to do it. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to do it. E, how to break out of rut. We got two more here. We're going to close. E is what? Exercise my body. How many know that 1 Timothy 4:8 says physical exercise has its value? Now, I know none of us here have problems with staying in shape. All of us here have great diets and great exercise programs. I'm speaking maybe to the one person who may need this morning. How do you break out of a rut? Get the physical exercise going. Some of you have been stuck in a rut. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to just do it. You're going to get out and you got to move. Listen, God designed your bodies to move. He designed us to move. He never ordained for us to sit on our blessed assurance all the time, did he? But many of us find ourselves sitting in office chairs and watching our 250 channels on satellite. And you know what I'm talking about. And we don't move. We're becoming people. What's the first thing they do after you have surgery? They want to get you up and moving, don't they? As soon as possible. Della, I mean, they just had your heart open, your chest open, wide open. I mean, it was a major surgery. And they want to what? They want to get you up and moving as soon as possible, don't they? Poor girl, give her a break. I just want to say, give the girl a break. She's been through a lot. But they know that they got to get her moving as soon as possible. Exercise. Some of you in a rut, you got to get out of your rut. Physical exercise. Exercise your body. Word of God talks about our bodies are what? The temples of the Holy Spirit. Some of you got to exercise and get out. Get to doing something. Man. Ted, how much weight did you lose this year? 94 pounds. 94 pounds this year. How did it start? A little bit of exercise and changing your diet, didn't it? One day at a time. Lloyd, how much weight did you lose this year? 70 what? 70 pounds. 70 pounds he's lost this year already. Did you have to change something? Yeah. He changed. He was at the house the other day, and he would come by on the four-wheeler and was taking the kids out in the snow on the sled. I said, come in and eat some of this pie. Grandma's making pies and cakes. And he's like, nope. I'm like, man, Lloyd, you're a stronger man than I am because I'm gaining weight this holiday season. I was not only hauling something to snow, man. I was putting on weight during the snow. So much for the New Year's resolution, man. I was eating because they were cooking all day long. Nothing else to do besides cook and eat. And so, man, I was putting on some weight. And Lloyd came by and said, hey, Lloyd, catch some of this food. Nope. He was disciplined. He had learned what it took for him to get into the shape he wants to be. Physical exercise gets you out of a rut. Get yourself moving. Get yourself moving. How do you do it? You do it one day at a time. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Now, listen, we're not all going to be supermodels here. We're not all going to look like the people in the magazine. So get that out of your mind, okay? But we can all eat healthy. We can all get our bodies moving. Get the energy going. Get your motivation going, okay? Get your motivation going. That comes by you get out moving. One of the first things that doctors will do when they come in for counseling, people come to me for counseling. One of the first things, I'm not a doctor, but one of the first things I learned in counseling was this. People got to get to doing something. If you're depressed, I make them start walking. I'm going to start walking a couple times a week. Get out of the house. Begin to walk a couple miles a day. And you can just that little bit, you see their demeanor change. You see them begin to get a new outlook on life. People who come and who are going through bad hurts in their life, it's like, get your focus off yourself. Get out. Volunteer. Do something else with somebody else. And they get out, begin to serve other people. And through that, they begin to get healed themselves. They get out of the rut they're in themselves. See, get out. Get the moving. Get it going. Look what it says here in Acts 9:34. This is for all the teenagers here. For your parents, this is for you. Acts 9:34 says, get up and make your bed. Moms, you can use that tomorrow morning when you get up, kids out for school. Get up and make your bed. That's in Acts 9:34. Get some energy going. Listen, some of us allow our kids to play PlayStation for hours and hours a day and watch movies hours and hours a day, and we don't ever even make them do something simple as make their bed. Get our kids moving. Let's get them physically moving. Let's get them some energy going, okay? Let's get some goals accomplished in our life. That's a Bible thing. That's a biblical principle, and it helps us get out of a rut. And the last thing here, how do we get out of a rut? F, we fire away. Do it now. Do it now. You want to get out of a rut? Do it now. Quit waiting. Do it now. I've heard too many people say this. I'm aiming to change. I say to you today, pull the trigger. We've been aiming for a long time. I'm aiming. One of these days, I'm aiming to get a better job. One of these days, I'm aiming to do something with this yard. One of these days, I'm aiming. One of these days, I'm aiming to change the way I do my family. One of these days, I'm going to spend time with my wife. One of these days, I'm going to spend more time with my kids. One of these days, I'm aiming. I say, stop aiming and do it. Stop aiming and do it. Well, Pastor, I just got to get a little bit more money before I spend time with my kids, and then I can give them the education they want. Listen, is it really going to matter if you wait that long? You're going to be spending Christmas by yourself and wondering why my kids aren't here. I got all these nice gifts. I got a nice home. I got a nice car. Why aren't my kids here with me? Because you didn't aim it. You've been aiming all your life to spend time with them, and when you're ready, they've moved on, and you haven't developed that relationship with them. You haven't developed that special time with them and saying, you know what, it's important to be together. Your dad wants to be with you. Your mom wants to be with you. Quit aiming and do it. Get out of the rut you're in. Stop being who you are and say, you know what, I'm going to be a better father. Just starting today, I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to be a better mother. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better wife. Tomorrow at work, I'm going to be a better employer. I'm going to be a better boss. I'm going to be a better owner. Tomorrow when you drive the kids to school, I'm going to do a better job of driving my kids to school. I'm going to wake up and be focused and talk to them as they're going and not just be in my own little world. I'm going to ask them how their day is and what's going on today. Break out of that rut. Fire away. Do it. I'm going to do something for God. God's calling me to witness somebody at my job. You know what? I'm going to do it. This week, I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask them to lunch, and I'm going to talk to them about what God's doing in my life. This week, I'm going to ask them to be at church next Sunday. This week, I'm going to talk to somebody. I'm going to open up my home. I'm going to lead a small group. I'm going to attend a small group. Get out of your rut. That's just how change takes place, and we get through it. Fire away. Do it now. As we close today, as musicians come, Proverbs 27 says this, never boast about tomorrow. You don't know what will happen between now and then. None of us are guaranteed what happens tomorrow. That's why we don't wait. That's why we don't wait. A prayer request came in this week, and it's a difficult situation, but I want to share this with you because I feel like it's going to be used today. There's a young lady that was here some time ago. She came to church for the first time here on Sunday morning. She went home in the afternoon, and she was in a diving accident and broke her neck. She's doing better, but they found this week she went ahead and passed away and went on to be. None of us never know what's going to happen. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. Stop. Stop waiting for the right circumstance. None of us are guaranteed that. Life's too short to allow things to be in our way, of friendships. Life's too short to allow your relationship with your spouse not to be mended. Life's too short not to allow God to do what he wants to do in your life. I say break out of a rut, change. Say, God, change me. Help me to do what you called me to do. I'm going to motivate myself. I'm going to be a self-starter. I'm going to step out and say, God, all right, you're leading me. Let's go, God. Let's go. God, what are you asking me to do? I'm saying yes to your will. God, you're going to help me forgive that person. God, you're going to help me be a witness to that person. God, you're going to help me. And I'm going to step out and I'm going to change. I'm going to quit letting fear stop me. I'm getting free from being paralyzed by fear. And I'm saying, God, you're going to empower me to do what you've asked me to do. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Today I want to close. I want to ask you this question today. If you're here, first of all, maybe you're here like many people have been here over this last year and have raised your hands and said, you know what, Pastor Gene, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You're talking about change and breaking out of a rut. I need to change more than just some little things in my life. I need to change my destination in life, my spiritual destination. I need to make heaven my home. I want to live for Jesus today. I want to give Jesus my heart. I want to ask him to come in my life and be Lord of my life. If you're here today and you say, I want to pray that prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to give you a chance to do that today. If you're here, can you just raise your hand and say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you raise your hand? If that's you, can you raise your hand? Hold it up. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else today? That's you. Say, I want to accept Jesus Christ. We've got two hands. Anybody else today? Say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. So first thing we're going to do, we're going to pray for these people first. Let's do this. I want to ask you to all repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your love. I give you my heart and everything I want to be. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer today, the prayer is just the beginning. Jesus talks about that when we confess with our mouth and we ask him to be Lord of our life, that he comes and he changes our life. But he also tells us to begin to live for him, to turn from our evil ways and begin to walk toward him. And so you're on a journey today. You're starting a new journey. And the best place to get friends who will help you, support you along this journey is right here where you're at this morning. There's people here that love you. There's people here that will encourage you. People here that will pray for you. I pray that you continue to come and allow us to nurture you and to encourage you. As we close today, I want to ask you this question. Say, Pastor Gene, man, I'm in a rut. I still be honest, I've been in a rut spiritually in my life. I've been in a rut for a while. And today as you're speaking, I want to just admit that first of all, I'm in a rut. And secondly, I want to say that I want God's help in moving out today. Today, I want to learn to get out of the rut that I'm in. If that's you and God's been dealing with you today, can you just raise your hand and say, it's me? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else today? Yeah, thank you. Silver hands. Anybody else today? Say, that's me. Thank you. Pastor, I want to move out of this rut that I've gotten in. I know better, and I'm ready. I'm ready to move forward. I'm tired of making excuses. Thank you. I'm tired of making excuses today. I want to move forward in my life. I don't want to wait until the right time. I want to do it now. I want to, the rest of my life, the rest of my marriage, I want to start doing what is right with God. Anybody else today, you want to raise your hand? Say, that's me. I want to make that declaration today. I'm going to invite you, everyone, to stand with you this morning. Let's all stand. I'm going to pray this closing prayer today for those, especially for those who raised their hands. I believe today could be a new day. I believe today is a new day for those who raised your hands and said, I'm ready to break out. Don't wait. Listen, if you raised your hand, do not wait. Do not wait. Begin it today. Go through that list. Assume responsibility. Begin to believe. Clarify what you want. Come on. Father, right now, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every hand that was raised today, Father, who raised their hands and said they wanted to break out of the rut they're in. Father, I know your Spirit empowers us to do what we cannot do on our own. So today we call upon the Holy Spirit today to come to do, Lord, what we cannot do on our own. God, it's through the power of your Holy Spirit that you change lives. It's through the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you bring conviction. It's through the power of your Holy Spirit, which brings change. Lord, it helps us break out of the ruts we're in as fathers, as husbands, as wives, as friends, as people of God, as mothers, as dads, Lord, employers. Lord, it's through the power of your Holy Spirit that helps us to change from where we are. And Lord, we want to do your will. Lord, we're asking today that you help us to break out of this rut, and God, help us to change. Help us to change, God. Begin to move forward. We say yes to your will today. We say yes to what you're asking us to do. And Father, we're not going to hide from that. We're not going to run from that, but we embrace it. And we say, God, through you, all things are possible. And today we move in that. And God, we believe that, and we speak it forth. Father, I pray right now, spiritually, God, may the ends of our rut be broken. May the chains of our rut be broken. And God, may we see ourselves free today through the power of your Holy Spirit. God, may we walk out here today free. And may we not pick up, Lord, that coat tomorrow. May we not pick up those chains tomorrow. But God, we're going to walk in freedom we're going to declare our freedom in faith in Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen and amen. God bless you today. Thank you so much for being here. Listen, Wednesday nights, we are having powerful, powerful prayer times on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. We're coming together praying for this new year. I invite you to come. We're having a powerful, powerful time of prayer. Come pray. Come pray with us. God bless you.